Hello. What are your hopes and dreams? We all have them. Are you dreaming of a new job? Getting into the team? An overseas holiday? Perhaps not at the moment. A special relationship? Your children happy and fulfilled? Perhaps you cling to the hope of a mortgage being paid off sooner? Getting into that uni? Or having enough super to see you comfortably cover your retirement needs? But what about this one? What about the hope that says death isn't really the end? That there's life beyond death, and we can have absolute certainty about it? Clearly, that's an impossible dream, a hope that surely has to be dashed at the graveside. Or does it? The New Testament, you see, gives us an astounding and surprising answer to that question. And it's all focused on just one day 2,000 years ago. It was a Sunday morning and very early. In fact, it was still dark. A woman called Mary Magdalene set out to visit the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth, who'd been crucified just 2 days earlier. She wanted to complete the anointing of his body for burial. There hadn't been time to do it properly. Everything had been so rushed. Mary was one of those who had pinned their hopes on Jesus being the leader of a brave new world, the king of the new kingdom of God that he had proclaimed so boldly, and she had followed him. But on the Friday, Jesus had been killed as a common criminal in a harrowing and humiliating public execution. The dream of those who were close followers of Jesus was over. He was dead, and all their hopes had died with him. So it was a sad and somber mood that Mary was in when she approached the tomb. We know from Mark's gospel that she went to the tomb with several other women, but in his gospel, John has a special focus on Mary, and we'll see why later. When she eventually reached the place, Mary was distressed to find that somehow the stone that sealed the tomb had been moved and Jesus' body was gone. What on earth had happened? Mary rushed back to the house where the other disciples were gathered, and she told them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." Things had gone from bad to worse. Jesus' death was tragic enough, but to think that his body had now been stolen was deeply disturbing. Every culture in every age has always been outraged when disrespect is shown to a corpse, and first century Israel was no different. Simon Peter and another disciple, whom we know actually to be the gospel's author, John, raced to the tomb and the apparent scene of a crime. But if it was a crime, it's rather a strange one because the grave clothes were generally quite valuable, made from expensive fabrics, and they'd been left behind. Peter goes into the tomb first and has a quick look. Then John goes inside as well, and he records his own response at that very moment. He saw and believed. Like a good detective, John was putting the pieces together. But as he explains in verse 9, all the disciples were still very confused and in a state of shock. He writes, "They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead." But if they dug out their Old Testament parchments, they could have read the words of prophecy in Isaiah, where they could have read the words that the Messiah, after the suffering of his soul, his death, will see the light of life. What Isaiah prophesied, Mary Magdalene was soon to witness. Now, it's fair to say that most of us know this story well, while for others it might be quite new and unfamiliar. If we are very familiar with it, then it's so easy to overlook the sheer scale of the surprise that's in store for Mary, and indeed all the disciples that day. The grief and distress of not knowing what had happened to the dead teacher she had so admired, the one who had driven out 7 demons from her, recorded in Luke's gospel, and to whom she had given her total allegiance, his inexplicable and sudden disappearance had totally overwhelmed her. So we need to put ourselves in Mary's shoes to hear the desperation in her voice before all that she could have ever imagined and hoped for is suddenly a reality right before her very eyes. She had come back to the tomb with Simon Peter and John. But when they rushed back to the others to say, yes, the tomb was empty, she stayed there and cried her eyes out. John tells us, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Mary, who is so confused and upset, seems totally unfazed by having a totally unexpected conversation with 2 angels, and replies, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Some think, and there may be some truth in it, that the reason Mary then turns round was because the 2 angels she was speaking with had bowed to the one who now stood behind her. The man behind her is Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. She simply assumes he's the gardener to the various tomb gardens in the location. A reasonable assumption in the circumstances. Who else would be in the tomb area so early? And after all, it's hardly likely to be one of the tomb occupants come back to life now, is it? Like the angels did, Jesus asks Mary, "Why are you crying?" He, of course, knew there was absolutely no reason for her to cry. But he continues, "Who is it you are looking for?" Mary had been devoted to Jesus with a grand view of him. But I believe her view of him had not been grand enough. He knew she was looking for him, or rather the location of his dead body. But didn't she realize he wouldn't stay dead? During his ministry, when he declared, "I am the resurrection and the life," he had meant every word. But Mary, totally unaware of the truth of that claim, and still thinking that she's talking to the gardener, asks Jesus, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And it's at that point that Jesus says, "Mary." She knew that voice. Just imagine her complete surprise at that very moment, a moment of total revelation. She was awestruck and cried out, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. It was clearly the special name by which she always called him. Now she knew that this was no gardener, it was the risen Jesus. In her excitement, Mary grabs hold of Jesus, but that wasn't really appropriate, for he is not just her teacher, he is her Lord and Saviour. Plus, he is in a new resurrection body. So Jesus says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus gives Mary a job to do, and as I'm sure you're aware, it carried with it a privilege and honour that broke all the cultural norms of the time. In first century Palestine, the witness account of a woman was inadmissible in a court of law. Hard to believe. Jesus breaks all the rules here to send a clear message that he is the Lord and Saviour for all people, for women and men, for young and old, for rich and poor, for the social elite and the social outcasts. The resurrection and lordship of Jesus brings hope socially as well as spiritually. Now Mary, for the second time that morning, and fulfilling the task Jesus gave her, runs back to the disciples' house, bursts through the door, and declares, "I have seen the Lord." What a moment for them all. What amazing news to take in. The Jesus who was crucified on Friday had been raised from the dead on Sunday. What a historic day for them and for the whole world. Death is finally defeated. Death doesn't have the final word, for Jesus has blazed a new trail. There is life after death. There is hope for all people everywhere. Resurrection hope. In this final section of my Easter talk, let me highlight some of the ways in which that hope makes a real difference to our lives today. First, it gives us confidence, for the resurrection demonstrates that Jesus was and is who he claimed to be, and that his death for our sin on the cross has paid our debt in full. The resurrection is a vindication of Jesus' saving death on the cross. And as the one who has conquered death, his offer of eternal life to those who put their faith in him is an offer we can trust. He's risen after all. We can have confidence. Jesus is the Lord of hope for life now and for eternal life. Second, the resurrection hope gives our lives perspective. When we know the hope we have in the Lord Jesus, we can face almost anything. The world has been going through the COVID turmoil for over a year. And in the everyday challenges of life, people lose jobs, lose their health, face disappointments, and encounter the difficult and varied realities of life on this earth. There are Christians in many parts of the world who, on this very Easter day, are languishing in a prison cell, or are denied employment or housing, or access to their children and family, because they follow Jesus. Why don't they deny him? Why not give up following Jesus? Answer? Because they know the truth of who Jesus is and the hope they have in him. The reality of God in their lives and the eternal hope he brings spurs them on in their lives. May that hope inspire us in our lives too. The living Lord brings us hope. Third and finally, the resurrection hope gives us a message to share. Our friends Simon, Peter, and John were there with Mary at the empty tomb. By the end of that first Easter day, each of them had witnessed seeing the risen Jesus, and it changed their lives completely. They were both fishermen by trade, but they didn't do much fishing on Lake Galilee after the resurrection. No, instead, what Jesus had once told them came true. He had said, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." After the resurrection and for the rest of their lives, Simon Peter and John set out to tell anyone who would listen the truth about Jesus and the hope the resurrection brings. The book of Acts in the New Testament tells their story. Simon Peter traveled far and wide sharing the gospel message. He once visited a town called Caesarea, where he met a Roman centurion called Cornelius. Cornelius, busy man though he was and with lots of responsibility, was wanting to know more of God and his life. And Peter was able to tell him about the risen Jesus. He told him, "God raised him, Jesus, from the dead. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." Peter was a witness to the risen Jesus. And if we know and follow Jesus, we are his witnesses too, his ambassadors, as Paul calls us, with the best news in the world to share. The news that Jesus is risen, that he can be known today, and that he will bring a lasting hope we can only find in him. On this Easter day, I encourage you to share that message, and for some watching today, to believe that message if you've yet to put your trust in the risen Lord. I wish you all a very happy Easter.